Welcome to Exploring the Marketplace, a podcast all about how faith impacts our guests' careers and lives. I'm Sean Bowles here with my co-host.
I'm Bob Haston, and we're here to bring you unfiltered, powerful conversations with industry leaders, entrepreneurs, and culture shapers who are living out their faith in extraordinary ways. From billion-dollar boardrooms to creative industries, we reveal how God is moving through everyday, ordinary people just like you, and this podcast will give you courage, which is our goal.
Yeah, these are the stories you don't get to hear on Sundays. Plus, we get to dive deep in the latest trends in business, finance, entertainment, and politics, giving you real insight from a kingdom and biblical perspective.
This is where faith meets influence. This is Exploring the Marketplace.
Welcome to Exploring the Marketplace. I am Bob Haston with my friend Sean Bowles, and we are going to have a powerful theme today. How do you make marketplace your mission to God, Sean?
I know it's going to be a really good thing to talk about because some people already know just organically how to do that, but some people are in industries or in careers that it's not inherently easy. It's not like a kingdom Christian type place where you could easily do that. And so you and I are going to have a talk about that. I want to hear how you've done that as well. And then we have an incredible guest today. Our guest today brings this to life in such a beautiful way. Rhea Lana is the founder and CEO of Rhea Lana's Children's Consignment Events, which is incredible. It began as a small clothing swap in her living room in 1997. It has grown into a national franchise. Bob, she has 120 locations in 26 states of children's consignment products. And even more inspiring is that her business and her growth is her vision. She's built a kingdom-minded movement that really empowers moms and builds community and honors God at every level of leadership. And she's faced some challenges. We're going to talk to her about those challenges that I think are so relatable and even maybe not relatable, maybe even bigger than what we'll ever go through.
Yeah, well, stick with us. It's going to be one of those episodes that reminds you that your marketplace calling really matters to God. And whether you're running a business or working a corporate job or freelancing or parenting full time, it can actually be anointed territory. So God's using our ordinary work in extraordinary ways.
Our sponsor today is Birch Gold, and Birch Gold is going to help you find a little known loophole in the IRS to protect your retirement, your IRA, your 401k with precious metals. And this is an incredible company. They have amazing consumer reviews. You can look them up. They're one of the top, if not the top, in their industry. And they're sponsoring us and giving you a free information guide by going to birchgold.com/Sean Bowles. Bowles is spelled B-O-L-Z. And when you go there, you're going to talk to their experts, whether you get the guide or talk to somebody. They are so informative, and they're going to help you to go on the journey to stabilize your financial future. And we know that gold has been a standard for thousands of years, and it is today still. You don't want to miss out on your opportunity to do something for your financial future and your children's future. Go there today. Well, you know, Bob, one of the biggest mindset shifts we've seen over the past decade, really, maybe a little longer, maybe a little shorter, is that people are starting to realize you don't have to leave your job to do ministry, to live out your calling. Your job can be your calling. It can be the place that you walk with God in a primary way. And the marketplace isn't separate from your mission. It actually might be your mission, or it can be your mission if you walk with God in that space.
It's incredible. I remember realizing that because, you know, when you're in the marketplace, you know, back in the late 70s, early 80s, it was thought that in order to be a believer and a leader, you had to be in the organized ministry, and I wasn't. And but in my everyday purposes, I carried out my work, and I always loved Joseph, who was you know, basically a government economist. But yeah, there he is in the Bible, doing all these great things. And then Sean, there was also Jesus, this guy named Jesus. He was a carpenter, and before his ministry started. So I think it's really interesting for us to look at what it means to be in the marketplace.
Yeah, I think of, you said this one time, and I'd never heard it before, but what did Jesus build in those hidden years? And I want one of those, you know, whatever he built, right? A stonemason, a carpenter. It's like, I never thought about that before. Like, he did a business, and what was it like to work with them and buy from his services and the whole thing? Like, you just never think of Jesus that way. And you don't think of Paul that way. Paul had a tent making business. So what was that? And he had it throughout his ministry. What was it like to do business with Paul? Because that would preach probably just as much as, you know, anything else. And I think I read this men's study that men, and we've actually had men on the program who've actually validated this, that men get to know each other by doing things together or working together more than being in a service and chatting or he's listening to something together. And women want to like connect and socialize, but men want to do something. So they play sports together, or they go out fishing, or they do something that's like active. And that's how we get to know each other's character and connect and this kind of thing. And I feel like everyone is a business person, or if you're engaging services, you get to know someone's business real quick by how they are, how their operation system. And so I think when someone's kingdom and when someone's Christian, it's like, it's very different. It's other than so many times.
Yeah. I was, when you were talking about Jesus, what I like to think about is, have you ever been on a job site? Have you ever had any contractor come into your house? Have you ever, you know, had somebody say, we're going to be there on Monday at 8:00, and they show up, you know, 5 Mondays later at, you know, noon.
When they I've never had a contractor flake on me at all, ever.
But could you imagine Jesus showing up on your job site?
No, I can't. And that's when you said that, I'm like, no. I mean, like, we've had some of the worst contractors in history. We've had some good ones too. Let me say that, because there's contractors who we've had who are listening. Right. There's some amazing ones too. But I'm just saying, we've had some bad ones because we've done multiple house projects. Oh my gosh, Bob. Like, if Jesus came, I would love to see what it would be like. And that's how we should feel. We should go be Jesus in our job so people would know what Jesus is like.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I have stories of many people who are out in the marketplace, and their jobs, their marketplace, their ministry is actually a pathway for other people to get into the organized ministry, or it allows them to fund the organized ministry. And I think about how God's economy is so brilliant that we, as marketplace people, can use the gifts and talents that God's given us outside of the church in order to help fund the church, resource the church in many different ways.
Well, what's neat is that there's been a move in culture, period, where businesses, if they don't have a give back to nonprofits and to humanitarian causes, they're almost invalid. Like they get found out, and then people boycott them or ban them or don't go to their stores and or their services. And so now tithing or giving is like the norm. It's like to actually give. And countries like America, where we live, reward your tithing or your giving or your 10%. They actually reward it with tax incentives and things like that. Not all countries do that. But I say that because, you know, if you look at your job as a mission, and you know that part of your mission is to do something with the resources that come in, not just the employees and the people you're impacting, people you're working with, then it really does give you basically ammunition to that spiritual weapon to do something really powerful in your life. And I've watched you and Lauren do that for years. I mean, you guys have been some of the most generous people I've ever seen in operation. I know you don't want me to talk about the exact aspects of that, but I mean, like, I watched the favor of God on your family, your children, your grandchildren, because you've stepped into something and you've looked at your job as your mission. The way you treat your employees is phenomenal. But then on top of that, I feel like I watch God. It's like the Father's good pleasure to give back, or to, you know, it's not monetary for you that he's giving back. It's like blessing your children, like being with you in the times that are hard, like in unusual ways. And so it's such an example to me and all the people who watch your life. And I think we all, when someone's walking kingdom in their career, we can all see it.
Well, I've had, you know, 45 years of experience of making mistakes. And it's so funny because even this last year, I've made mistakes. I've made some stewardship mistakes. I've made some financial mistakes. And
tell us each one. I'm just kidding.
it's humbling to realize that you're always growing, you're always shifting, you're always adjusting, you're always looking to God to help. And I don't know if there's a moment where marketplace becomes your ministry field. I think it encapsulates your entire life, where you treat your coworkers the same way that you treat your family, the same way that you treat people at church. There's caretaking with the Lord, because the Lord takes care of us. You know, our customers aren't just revenue centers. They're relationships that we build, and there's opportunities within those relationships to serve with integrity and excellence. So our jobs aren't transactional. It's just not that it's a paycheck, or a payback or revenue. It actually is a mission field in how we conduct ourselves with our character.
Yeah, we talk about Proverbs 3 a lot here, and we usually just talk about 4 and 5 and then get to 6. But if you just read 6 alone, it's also really relevant to this, because it says, in all of your ways, acknowledge him and he'll direct your path. So there's something about being present with God and in your career and in your, in the things that are in your life in a real way. And there's direction that comes out of that where it's like he starts to lead you. And just the same way a pastor needs God to lead him and to understand the mission of the church, it's like God's going to lead you in the mission of your career. And I think that includes our career decisions and our marketing plans and our expansions and our hardships and the things we go through with legal battles, whatever it is, that we watch God move in powerful ways. And I love something you said a minute ago because it made you feel really teachable. And I was in this meeting one time with this older man who's in his 70s, and he was talking about a mistake he had made. And then he smiled at everybody. He looked around and he goes, "But I'm only 75. So, I mean, I'm just still learning." And he acted like he was like 20. You know, it's like the way he said it, everybody just started laughing because it was so real. Like, I'm only 75. I mean, I have a lot to learn still. And it just was, it was one of my favorite statements from somebody who's older because it just made everybody just go, "Oh, thank God. Like, you don't arrive. You know, you're always learning." And I think that to me is one of the keys of this whole thing.
Yeah, it really is. And I mean, I'm not joking when I say this, is the older I get, the more I realize I don't know a lot and I'm learning a lot. It just, I don't know how that works, but that's how I feel. And I think that's the humility born with God, to recognize that you're always learning. So Sean, this is a great Real Talk. Thanks for setting that up. And who do we, I know you talked about Rialana earlier, but talk to us about who she is.
Well, Rialana, let me tell you her bio because she's amazing. She's Rialana Reiner, an inspiring entrepreneur, CEO, and founder of Rialana's Children Consignment Events. What started in her living room in 1997 has grown into a national franchise with 120 locations in 26 states. But here's what we love the most, is that Rialana didn't just build her business. She built a kingdom-minded movement, and she's empowering thousands of moms with affordable, high-quality kids items. And she's mentored women into business ownership, leadership, and even their spiritual growth, even though this is a very mainstream company. And she's walked through legal battles. We're going to hear some of them, COVID pivots, and what she thought were setbacks. And they all became greater setups for greater impact. Amen. And Rialana's story is a masterclass in letting your values lead you. And you're going to get that. Like Bob and I, we are so excited to talk to Rialana.
I want to invite you to partner with us to spread the gospel around the world. And we're doing this through our TV shows and our podcasts, our social media. We're helping Christians navigate culture with a biblical worldview of what God's doing right now in society, news, entertainment, the church, through the Sean Bowles Show, which is our weekly commentary show on podcasts. We're building courage with our ministry audience for their calling and their careers for exploring the marketplace, which is a CBN news show and a podcast. And we're helping thousands to grow spiritually in their connection to Christ and training them to hear God's voice. And we're activating them in their gifts and helping them to have coaching tools for their inner development through Spiritual Growth Academy Online. On top of this, I get to minister around the world with Sound Biblical Truth on Prophetic Edge through YouTube all week long. And we have Sunday services even with YouTube. And we have weekly videos, and this doesn't even touch other social media that we do. I, of course, do a lot of ministry with TBN, and I host a lot of different media outside of what we're doing in our ministry, but we want to have you come help us. We want to invite you to help us expand our reach. And we are on testimony overload of the goodness of God, changing people's lives through the impact that we're having as a ministry, but we need you to help us create this media, this ministry. You can be a part of our team and our family, and we get to pray for you when you do this. We pray for our partners weekly. We get to resource you. We send you regular resources, both in the mail, but also online, because we want you to be equipped and reinforced. And we also have monthly partner meetings where you get to connect with me and our Bowles team online live, so you can feel the synergy of what God's doing and let it energize your life, as well as we get to pray for you live every month. And if you can't come live, you're still going to watch the video and get the prayer, because we take whatever God's doing in our ministry and we impart it to you so you can have the benefit. But become a partner today so our fruit becomes your fruit.
Well, welcome back. We're here with Rialana. Rialana, we're so happy to be with you.
Thank you for having me. It's just a pleasure to be here.
Well, I was just saying in our kind of pre-talk, where were you when we had babies? I love your company. I love what you do. But talk to us about the journey, because I know it couldn't have been easy to start, especially this was like a very outside the box, very, I love outward and upward thinking for a mom to be able to do this. Take us on the journey.
Yes, well, I would call myself an accidental entrepreneur. My journey is very unexpected. It really was started because my husband was in the corporate world. He had a great engineering job. And then we decided that he would go into full-time ministry. He had gotten this offer he really couldn't turn down with some old friends. And so we moved our family from the Panhandle of Texas. We had three children under the age of five, and we moved to Central Arkansas. Wow. And so we took quite a nosedive in our salary. I was a stay-at-home mom. Our friends all thought we were crazy, but it was based on faith, honestly. We felt like it was what God was calling us to do. And so, but we also didn't quite realize how hard it was going to be. And so I found myself trying to get from paycheck to paycheck, quite honestly. And I left cute kids' clothes. Moms, we find a lot of value, you know, in our children looking beautiful. And I had always loved shopping secondhand, and there just weren't a lot of opportunities. But to be honest, I really, when I had that first little sale in my living room and I invited friends and we bought and sold each other's clothes, it wasn't meant to be a business. It was really just meant to be friends helping friends. So but that's how it got started.
So Rialana, you started the business by having a bunch of people in your living room. And so now I'm trying to get inside your mind, like, how did you take the next step? And I'm going to use the word scaling, but I know back then there was no thought of scaling. It was, we're just going to do the next thing. How did that next thing happen?
Well, this was back in the mid 90s. I've been doing this a while. And you're right. It wasn't in my mind at all. Scaling, you know, I didn't have a business class, business background. My family didn't do business. Really, it was from need of the moms that I was serving. They loved it. And so it would take over another room of my house. And then the neighbors complained about the traffic. And then we had to find the next bigger location. So it really took on this life of its own. And after our very first sale in our living room, and I will say, this. The first one was a failure. It really was. I didn't know anything about marketing. I'm an introvert by nature. And I had thought that if I did it perfect enough, people would come. And so I had to learn how to invite people. You know, I was gradually learning these business skills. But that's what caused it to grow, was really there was just this need. And we did decide to computerize it after the first sale. My husband, for kind of on the side, he enjoyed programming. And so this doesn't seem like a big deal now. But if you can picture in 1997, stay-at-home moms did not have computers in their homes. And I had told my husband, oh, you're crazy. Nobody's going to do that. But of course, he was right. But that's been part of our niche, is it was computerized. It was this high-quality secondhand shopping experience for children's clothes. And they're really wasn't much like that, or really anything like that. We joke that we were the first barcoded garage sale in the world, probably. But so it sort of took on a life of its own.
Well, talk to us about kind of some of the highs and lows you experienced in starting a business like this, especially because it was an accidental entrepreneurship. Like, what made you go, okay, we're onto something, we need to keep doing this? And where was God in that whole journey?
Well, God was within it all the whole time, quite honestly. It's always been a very much of a faith journey. It's been challenging. You know, we were bootstrapping it. Again, my husband was on a ministry salary. We didn't have people handing us money. So we had to always figure out how we could afford the next step and be frugal. And so that in and of itself was a challenge. As the business grew, I had to learn how to be a leader. You know, I wasn't a leader. I was a stay-at-home mom of three little kids. But every step along the way has definitely been challenging. But through each challenge, God just showed me things about myself, that I could do more than I thought I could if I would just step out of my comfort zone and try something new. And so there's definitely been a lot of challenges along the way. A big one came, I would say, once we decided to franchise, and then we ended up, the government audited us and said we were, you know, breaking some regulation. And so that was a big battle that I ended up fighting.
Yeah, it's so interesting because we talked to Auntie Ann from Auntie Ann's Pretzels, and she had the same kind of thing where they were franchising and bootstrapping and doing all this stuff and realized they weren't in compliance, and how God just made a way. And I love how there's those stories where, you know, you're walking this out, because it's so real what you had to walk out as far as learning how to be a leader, learning sales, learning business. And the fact that you did that when you didn't have that background just shows how God wants to push us in the areas that we wouldn't have dreamed for ourselves, Ephesians 3:20. So I think it's so encouraging.
Well, and I have always loved Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It just says to trust in the Lord and that he will, and he'll make the way and he will direct our steps. And so I, a lot of times when I would lay at night and be so fearful, like this decision feels too hard. Really, the Lord has given me comfort that he'll make the way for the next step.
That's true, Rialana. That's my life scripture. Also, I even plug in whatever my most current circumstance is. Instead of trust in the Lord with all your heart, I plug in trust in the Lord with whatever the new thing is that's keeping me going. I love that. So help us understand, you're going from a big garage sale. Now you've decided to franchise and you've written, I assume you're writing a franchise manual and you're starting to grow, and then the government gets involved and says, hey, you're doing these things wrong. How do you navigate that? Do you have to hire attorneys? Are you in a place where you're stunted for a little bit until, talk to us about that.
Well, it was terrifying. I mean, we had only been franchising for maybe 4 years. I was literally barely above a stay-at-home mom. And I probably had 2, maybe 3 full-time employees. So I was barely figuring this out. Right. And so I was I had never even spoken to an attorney in my life before this. And so, I think I spent the first part of it thinking, have I done something wrong? Like, you know, I was very introspective because, you know, my dad was in the military. I'm a oldest child. Like, you never break a rule. You always do the right thing. You always treat people right, you know? And so I was very introspective for a while. And then we realized, hey, we're not breaking a rule and this is worth fighting for. And to be honest, if I hadn't fought, we would have been out of business because they were coming after our business. We were seeing a lot of early growth. And I've learned that is a strategy, is if they'll go after one business in an effort to affect the whole industry. And so they were after our very small children's consignment industry. Wow. There was a small industry at the time. And because that's moms volunteered their times to get to shop early. And so it was just the way consignment events had always been done. And we were bringing innovation to it and we were growing rapidly. And so I decided it was worth fighting because if I hadn't, we would have been out of business because I asked the auditor, are you going to apply the same standard to the rest of the industry? And they weren't going to. So all that to say, it was worth fighting, but we were so blessed that we did have some nonprofit legal organizations from Washington, D.C. reach out to help us. And so that's the only way we could have done it because we battled for about 9 years. I had millions of dollars of fines over my head that would have put us out of business. And I still was trying to build a very small franchising company. And so a lot of this process is, how do I fight the federal government while I'm still trying to stay in business selling franchises? I want to still build trust so that my franchise owners know that they can trust me. And so it really was this great test of being authentic. It's sort of like being a parent. You don't want to weigh them down with too much information, but enough information that they understood the battle and the issue. Yeah. And then meanwhile, I ended up being, you know, on national TV, and I was thrust onto this stage of having to learn to articulate and had to learn to be a leader and went to Washington, D.C. We even had a bill in Congress. But during that time, I was learning to be a leader. I was learning to, again, articulate hard things. And the neatest thing, honestly, about the whole journey was, and where we really saw God show up several times. But first of all, is I actually won the first time in the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals. So one step down from the Supreme Court, so a stay-at-home mom from Arkansas, we actually won against the government, which is unheard of, you know. We did one, and that was on overreach and overregulation. We ended up losing in the end. And I remember when I told my franchise owners, we got the news when we were at our annual conference. We come together once a year, and I'd gotten the news at the very beginning of the conference. And I, of course, wanted to just lay on the floor and cry, but I was, you know, trying to be strong. And we decided, no, my franchise owners have paid a lot of money to come. And so we're going to give them all that they've come for. We're going to celebrate and teach and connect. And then on the very last day, I'm going to share the news. And so it got to Sunday. It was the last session. And I stood on the stage and I began to share the news with this room full of small business women who were building their businesses in their communities. And they had stood with me for all this time. And I started crying, which I try to never cry. As a woman, you don't want to look weak, you know? And so I try not to cry very much. But I just started bawling on stage because I felt like I had failed my franchise owners. Mm-hmm. And they just one by one gave me this standing ovation. They all stood in support. And it was just this wonderful, unifying experience that we're behind you, Rialana. We trust you. And so it really put our company in this strong position to go forward because they knew, we all knew we could fight. We all knew we could do hard things. And so it was, it turned out to be a very unifying, strengthening thing for our company.
I love that. I just love how God uses these moments of, I mean, especially when it comes to the government's overreach, which is we see a lot of times. Luckily, we're blessed by being in America, but there's still overreach. And the fact that these women got to see a model of leadership and you were vulnerable, you were real, and their livelihood was at stake too, and they stood with you. I mean, what was the impact of that? Like now take us fast forward. It's been many years. Talk about the business. Talk about where it's at.
Well, we're still growing, you know, we're still battling. Every time I think nothing harder can happen, and yet other battles come, you know, we've had COVID and we've had more, you know, I'm sure, you know, there just seems like there's always the next one. But I think what God does for me and for my franchise owners is we have this confidence that for one thing, God has been faithful. You know, when we will work and live by his principles, he's faithful. And then we also just continue to grow. Our capacity grows. We have a motto in our company is we can do hard things. You know, hard things aren't always bad. They're just hard. Yeah. So we try to do hard things with grace and be good models for our children watching us growing businesses and our friends and our families. And so, it's really given us a way that we can do business as women, and we can look back on God's faithfulness and give us hope and vision for the future, because unfortunately there are other hard things coming, I've learned.
Yeah, not always.
Yeah. I mean, I have a two-part question here. You're a woman in business, number one, and I'd like you to speak to that. And then I know that we discussed that you had a volunteer base. And that changed at one point also. So sort of a two-part question, and I'll let you talk about that.
Well, I love being a woman in business. In some ways, I feel like it's been a lonely journey for me. There are more women, I think, doing entrepreneurial business things now that when I got started, and I'm not, don't live in a metro area. I'm kind of in small town Arkansas. So it's been a bit of a lonely journey trying to figure out. But I've enjoyed it. And it's again where my faith has just been so important to me because I've seen God walk with me all the way through it. And I love, you know, women, we love to multitask. We're just multidimensional. I love working with women in business. I will say it hasn't been easy though, and have oftentimes felt disrespected by men in business. But I think it's been my job to make sure that I'm respectable. That's what I say to other women. First of all, make sure you are respectable, and do your part and be smart and be confident and be gracious and humble and kind. So I love it when women want to do business because I think women are very geared that way. It's wonderful, but there has been definitely challenges to overcome in it. But yes, back to our model. That was what the government was looking at, was the volunteer model. And that's the way children's consignment events had been run for 30 years before me, and moms loved it. Nobody complained. They would volunteer their time, and then they would get to be first in line. And so they would get the best stroller and baby bed, whatever it was. And that's the way these consignment events had been run for years. And so when we lost that court case, we had to then switch to an employee model. And so it was terrifying, although it was unifying for our company. It was terrifying because we didn't know if we could make that switch. And so basically what we did is, consignment means that when a family sells something, they keep part and then the business keeps part. Yeah. And so we had always loved being generous to the families selling with us, and we'd always given back this very generous 70% of what they had priced an item for, and so we switched it. We dropped it to 65%, and we didn't want to drop it, you know, but we had to, because now we had to figure out how to pay employees and then pay the tax, you know, all the regulatory things that had to happen. And so we had about probably 90 franchises at that time. And again, there are just a lot of them are women who didn't have a ton of business experience. And so within about 5 weeks, and I actually still run our flagship event in Central Arkansas, my event was first. And so I got to figure it out first is how do we hire people? How do we train them? How do we run this huge pop-up event with 200 employees in 2 weeks, you know, do this huge operation with thousands of people coming in and going out and still provide this wonderful experience. But the new thing that we were going to be doing was selling tickets. And we had always loved having free admission, free parking. You know, we just never wanted to nickel and dime our customers. We wanted moms to feel special and dads too. But what we realized, so we began to sell tickets basically for an early shopping opportunity. We had to, again, give consignors a little bit less. We went from 70% to 65%. And then we began to sell tickets for shopping, kind of exclusive shopping tiers. And what we found is there was this whole segment of the population that hadn't come to our events yet because they didn't want to volunteer. They would love to buy a ticket and come and shop. And so it actually turned out to be great. And it helped our model. We've reached a whole new area of the population of moms. Again, they're busy, you know, moms are they're either busy or whatever. So it has turned out to be good. And we've actually realized we would much rather run events on employees than volunteers now that we know how to do it. And now we know we sort of just had to learn another area of leadership. And so we love where we are now.
It's so profound. It's just so profound that, you know, and Bob and I are the type of people, we'd rather buy the ticket than volunteer just because of our timing, right? And you're right. Moms are busy. Dads are busy. So I love that you just were able to pivot and so quickly. Mm-hmm. Talk to us about, if you could think of like, what's one of your favorite God moments that happened besides the women standing with you? Like as far as maybe in the more recent years where it feels like because God was with you, there was a different outcome for the whole business. Because a lot of the women I'm sure aren't Christians who are your franchisers and who are your employees. So what was a moment that was like, yeah, God is still pushing this thing forward?
Well, I think about it a lot with just the change lives of women who run our franchises. I have a couple of examples, but we have women who have found themselves suddenly single moms because dad decides he doesn't want to be a dad anymore. And so they've been able to support their families and not have to go try to find a 9-to-5. And so we have lots of stories like that in our company that I'm so thankful that God has been part of this story and given these women confidence that they can figure this out. It's hard to figure out. It's not easy. You know, being in business isn't easy. I'm never going to say it's easy, but it is awesome. You know, once you figure it out and if you're willing to work hard and be resilient and learn things, it's amazing. And there's also a time just big company wide when it was a year after we lost the court case. I remember sitting in my little bitty office and I got this call from one of my franchise owners on the West Coast in Washington. And he said, Rialana, I think we're going to have to close down our events because there's some sickness going around. And I said, no, the show always goes on. We never close. Well, yeah, I mean, 24 hours later, we realized, you know, that it was COVID. And so all of our events closed down and every event in the world was closed. And I'm in the event business. And I remember sitting there thinking, Lord, I thought that fighting the government was hard. This feels even harder. And then we all know that it was harder. And especially in our little industry, again, events were closed around the world. And so, but God, again, was so faithful. And I work here in Arkansas. And so it was a very great place to do business. And I was able to work with our state and our local officials. And so we pretty quickly pivoted again and figured out how to have these. I mean, I say safe because now we sort of look back and go, gosh, we wasted a lot of energy on that, but you know, then we had to wear the face mask and do this distancing. And but there were families that had not been out of their homes in months, but because they trust Rialana's and they really did need things for their families, they came. And it was just this emotional experience that God had led the way for us. He had given us courage that it was the right thing to do. And we did want to serve families. And so God really blessed it. And so for our business, we didn't miss a beat much. We did close down for a couple of months, but we were doing events pretty much before most wow. other businesses were doing events again. And so, and then because of that, we had to learn some new things. You know, we have this, just some different consigner services that we were having to learn. It's called drop and go. You guys don't know what that is, but anyway, it's that moms can drop their things off. It's more high level of service. And so, but through those, through that pressure, it forced us to be innovative. And so this crisis situation really turned into greater innovation. And that's just been such a blessing.
Well, Rialana, you have 120 locations in 26 states. You're still growing. I am sure that there are men and women listening and watching that would love to get a hold of you. How do they do that?
Well, I would love to talk to folks. You can find us at Rialana.com. It's R-H-E-A-L-A-N-A. And then also, if you go to Rialana.com/podcast, you can fill out a short form there. And I would love to do just a free consult with anyone who's interested in just their entrepreneurial journey. You don't have to be interested in franchising. Maybe you are, but maybe I could just be an encouragement to those who are just looking to take the next step with really whatever, that wherever they are. I'm also on LinkedIn, Rialana Reiner. You can also find us Rialanas on Facebook and Instagram. And we would love to talk to folks and would love to be an encouragement. Again, my journey is very accidental, but you just never know where the Lord will take you if you'll just step out of your comfort zone a little bit, try a hard thing. And even when you fail, try again. Because I do believe that God wants to use us more than what we could possibly imagine.
Yeah, well, your example of somebody who God dreamed of and planned all kinds of things, but he didn't give you the cheat sheet, so you discovered them. I think so many of us are like that, where it's like we're expecting this five-year plan from God to come down from heaven. It's going to be so clear, and yet we're just taking these steps of faith. And I love your story because it so illustrates that. So thanks so much for being on today, and thanks for offering your service and just walking with God this way, because I know it's going to minister to so many people.
Thank you for having me. And thank you for what you all are doing. It's a wonderful message, wonderful encouragement that you're giving folks.
Thank you for being a part of Exploring the Marketplace, where faith and business collide to shape culture. Stay ahead with free resources, online courses, and exclusive content at bowlsministries.com. And even dive deeper with our online training, spiritual growth mentoring community, or grab a copy of Wired to Hear, the book that Bob and I co-authored to help you hear God in your career.
We're building a global conversation. You can be part of it. Partner with us or donate today, or recommend new guests for our show to fuel the impact. Let's stay connected. Follow us on social media at Sean Bowles or at Bob Hassan.
And did you love the episode? Share it with your network and leave a review. It helps us so much to reach more people who are ready to bring the kingdom into the marketplace.
See you next time.